My place in tech changes every day, but I don't fear the future because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with my colleague and friend, Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang. And we're very pleased to be welcoming Cleo Pascal, the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, who has introduced me to this part of the world so that I begin to believe I know where I am. This is Palau, part of the chain of islands from Hawaii to the Philippines and moving north to Japan. There are the Marshall Islands, the Micronesian, the Northern Marianas, Micronesia, and then there's Palau, which, according to the photographs, is gorgeous. However, right now, there's trouble in Palau, a place where there should never be any unhappiness. The president is saying that China is attacking. With what? Tourism. Cleo, a very good evening to you. How do you attack with tourism? What does it look like? Good evening to you.
Good evening. So this is actually the second wave attack on Palau with PRC tourism. We saw this happen from about 2010 to 2016 also. Palau is a country that recognizes Taiwan, and it has a compact of free association with the United States, which gives the U.S. exclusive defense and security rights and responsibilities in Palau. And Palauan waters are contiguous to Philippines waters. So if you're China, you're looking at Palau, country of 18,000 people. It has a deep defense relationship with the U.S. It recognizes Taiwan, and it's the other side of the Philippines, which you're trying to squeeze. So you're going to try to undermine it any way you can. And what it did in that first phase, 2010 to about 2016, 2017, was it built up the tourism sector from practically nothing, and then it pulled all of the tourists out and said, unless you de-recognize Taiwan, the tourists aren't coming back. It was that obvious. It crashed the tourist economy. They had bought leases on properties that were sitting empty. It was an extreme economic coercion. Luckily, Palau stood up to it at that time. Then COVID hit, further affecting the economy. And now Palau is rebuilding its tourism economy. And again, the Chinese are coming in, not just on the direct flights, but also on a lot of very dubious charter flights in the lead up to an election. I think probably with the hope of enticing the opposition to back them should they come to power to de-recognize Taiwan and perhaps affect the relationship with the U.S., which is at this moment also putting in some major military installations in Palau.
Gordon, you have a question for Cleo.
Cleo, let's talk about that election. It's November. It seems to be crucial. What's happening?
So what's happened? It's very hard to tell. This is a country of 18,000 people, and a lot of them actually live in the U.S. So thanks to these compacts of free association, the people of Palau and Federated States of Micronesia and Marshall Islands can live and work in the U.S. So the presidents are campaigning, the president and his opposition is campaigning not only in Palau, but in places like Oregon, where there are large Palauan populations. Because of that, it's very difficult first to track things like campaign financing. It's hard to know who is funding what campaigning in the United States, for example. If you're the Palauan government, that's well beyond your ability to monitor. And polling becomes very difficult because these are really tight family-linked societies, and you're likely or very possibly related to elements of several campaigns. So it's quite difficult to know what's going on. The fact that the U.S. was very slow in renewing the compact gave the opposition a long time to hammer the current president, who's very pro-Taiwan. We say pro-Taiwan or pro-U.S., but what he is pro-democracy. And so he is trying to align his country with other countries that will help protect democracy within Palau. And that message was negatively affected because the U.S. handled the negotiations. In fact, there's still outstanding elements of the negotiations that aren't complete in a not ideal way. And so for the pro-Chinese elements, it gave them the opening to say, look, the U.S. doesn't really care about you, even though in the end, what the things that he's delivering really are very good for the people of Palau. So all that to say, it's really hard to gauge what's going on, but it's certainly very tight.
Cleo, the 80th anniversary of Palau, the Battle of Palau, heavy casualties defended by the Imperial Japanese. Is this remembered in Palau the way it was in the Marshalls and the Marianas? Are they celebrating?
Well, this is the Battle of Peleliu, which is an island in Palau. So Palau, along with the Federated States of Micronesia and Marshall Islands, are part of the Japanese Empire from 1914 until this series of battles when the Americans, in particular the U.S. Marines, liberated the islands. But the Japanese linkages, because Japan was there for 30 years, you had a lot of intermarriage. And at the beginning, especially, it was a civilian administration. And about 20% of the population of Palau have Japanese blood. So for them, it's a complicated legacy. In places like Angar and Peleliu, you had populations that had been first colonized by the Spanish, then the Germans, then the Japanese. And out of seemingly nowhere, they started getting bombed by the Americans. So there's two different things. There's the population of Palau and there's the battle itself. The battle itself was just... it was just horrific. And all battles are horrific, but these are sort of those battles that just break your heart. And the degree of hand-to-hand combat and brutality and viciousness resonates throughout history. The only thing that can come out of that, kind of positive from the Palauan side, was it led to a chain of events that eventually meant that for the first time in hundreds of years, it was an independent country that could make its own decisions. And that's one of the reasons why they cling to democracy, many of them, with such fervor, because they have been through these phases of colonization and attack, and they're on the front line again. They know it. The U.S. is putting in an over-the-horizon radar installation. And on Peleliu itself, the Marines are back. They've just rebuilt the runway. The same runway the Japanese used and the Americans used is now has just been rehabilitated in case it is needed again. So it has been commemorated with obvious sadness and also with trepidation for what's to come in the future.
I see from the map that Peleliu is part of the chain of islands that is Palau. So the main Palau islands, to the north. And you say the airfield at Peleliu is being rebuilt. Is that correct?
That's correct. In fact, they've had the first American military fixed-wing aircraft land on that new runway just recently. So it is back in operation. And the island to the south, just to the south of it, you can see Angar. You can see Peleliu from Angar and vice versa. That was also the site of a major battle. And that's where the U.S. is putting in or trying to put in an $100 million over-the-horizon radar installation. So the people of Palau know that they're on the front line again. And if something goes off in Taiwan, they're very likely to get hit half a minute beforehand.
I mentioned that rebuilt airfield, that's part of the U.S. Air Force thinking about the second island chain after the attack. Cleo Pascal of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy. Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious to buy chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.